Hi, my name is Michelle Jackson, and I love reading romance. I'm so excited to talk about this topic today. It's been in the back burner of podcast episodes that I had to record, and I was like, I gotta do it. I gotta do it right now. And one of my favorite revenue streams that I've developed in the past year or so has come from writing and self-publishing ebooks in general. I actually write and publish both nonfiction and fiction books, and I'm gonna be clear, I freaking love this revenue stream. I'm completely obsessed with it. I love it so much. There's so many reasons why I love self-publishing, but today I wanted to specifically talk about becoming a romance writer. Later on this week, I will also talk about how to become a nonfiction writer because it's a slightly different conversation, and why I'm so obsessed with nonfiction writing as well because I sell both fiction and nonfiction books and I love it. Let's get ready as I answer some frequently asked questions and more about being a romance writer and author. By the way, you need to be really obsessed with romance, or you need to at least enjoy it. If you don't, it's just not going to work. If you're thinking about starting an author blog, I've got information. Go to the show notes at michelleismoneyhungry.com/how-to-become-a-romance-writer. This episode is sponsored by Make Money with Ebooks. Make sure you grab the course today. It is on sale. Cyber Money Monday. If I were a foghorn, that would be the sound that I would make. If you're listening to this episode at any other time of year other than Cyber Monday, just click on the link in the show notes to the course. You never know. It could still be on sale or something special could be going on. But as the episode is releasing on Cyber Monday, there are, of course, deals. So you need to go to the show notes in order to see what those savings codes are. Also, make sure that when you go to the show notes, you grab the 20-minute ebook workshop. If you are interested in writing a book, I share a couple of things in that workshop as well. So, anywho, sometime during the spring of, it was like the spring or summer of 2018, I read a blog post on making sense of sense about making money writing romance. Now, you have to understand, at this point in time, I was trying a lot of things out professionally. I was vaguely trying to coach people, but I was like not that excited about it. I was trying to start an online community, but it just didn't like click. For those of you who've been around, I'm referring to the Dunn Society, that it just didn't quite work. I half-heartedly tried to make affiliate income, and ironically, affiliate income is actually it's like tied with self-publishing in terms of revenue streams that I love, but it wasn't coming together. And freelance writing just stressed me out whenever I had a bad client because it never made sense to me how editors would complicate what would be super easy projects, like things that didn't need to be complicated in terms of like interactions and stuff. I'm like, what is wrong with you guys? Anywho, as excited as I was about making money online, just nothing was working and nothing was lighting me up besides making affiliate income. And again, I just wasn't really making enough to be excited about that either. And then finally, I noticed that I did enjoy writing and producing content, but like I wasn't making money with it, other than the freelance writing, which was getting on my nerves. So it was just like this weird cyclical, like nothing was working. I was frustrated. I'm like, oh, like why is nothing coming together? So one day I was just like, you know what? I'm trying all these things out this year. I'm just gonna throw spaghetti on the wall, like metaphorically throw spaghetti on the wall and just see what sticks, what I'm excited about, what's interesting, what I could continue to do and not really feel like it's work. And that was kind of how I got into writing romance. One day I read this article and it kind of weighed on my mind and I thought about it and thought about it. And then finally I was like, let's just do this thing. Let's just get a story out in the world. When I did that, I ended up making $540 that first month, and I was hooked. Now, there were so many reasons why I decided to self-publish that first book, but regardless, I was hooked. All I spent was $15 for the cover, $15, and about 23 hours in writing time. That's literally all I did, and that book continues to make me money. So for you people listening to the show, I want to talk to you about how to become a romance author. Now, the first step is just to decide that you would like to write your first book. By deciding that you're going to write your first book, you've set an intention. Now, here we go. I need to say the following. We're grown-ass adults. I'm really tired of people being embarrassed about romance. Respect the genre and be a fan. If you don't enjoy reading romance, it will be difficult to actually write the books. I mean, it seems pretty obvious, right? In fact, you will find it painful. Luckily for you, there are other genres you could specialize in if you enjoy those genres and if you enjoy creating content. Note the statistics. Romance is the most lucrative genre to write in, period. Romance and erotica. And it's hilarious to me because there is almost always a happily ever after in every single book, unless maybe you're European because, you know, they did do Romeo and Juliet. And typically, you want to avoid any book that does not have a happily ever after ending because it will piss off your readers. But you could be the first to try it out, but I would say don't do that. Understand your readers. Part of the reason why you need to read and enjoy romance is because it helps give you an insight into your readership. Don't listen to the naysayers. In fact, be very careful about who you share your writing intentions with. That's part of the reason why I created my Make Money with eBooks course so that students would be in a consistently supportive space. Avoid letting imposter syndrome keep you from working on your book. After working with the students in my course and just in one-on-one interactions, I've observed a couple of things. Imposter syndrome is a huge problem when it comes to writing romance or any book. Self-talk is what keeps people from taking action for years. How do you avoid dealing with self? How do you avoid imposter syndrome? So the first thing is focus on taking manageable action steps daily, weekly, monthly to move you towards the goal of completing your first book. Those action steps include, but aren't limited to, the following: daily writing goals. I personally do not like daily writing goals that include a number in the beginning of your writing journey. Just building the habit, I think, is the more difficult piece. So just sit down and write something every day. And then when you're comfortable, then start writing with a number in mind. So it could be after you've built the habit of writing daily that you switch and you're like, okay, I'm writing daily. Now let's see if I can write 2,000 words a day or what have you. The other thing you should do is create a vision board to gain clarity on where writing your book stands in your overall goals. Like, why write the book? It could be that you just want to complete a goal, or you want to make passive income, or you want to have stories out there in the world. Whatever it is, be clear about it so that it fuels your focus. Redefine what success looks like. So for me, just writing the first book was a successful outcome. I was not anticipating making any money with it at all. Then I did, and it was kind of awesome. So I feel like a lot of people have these weird ideas about what their success should look like. Like, they need to write their first book and they're going to be like number one bestseller. And honestly, that's basically probably not going to happen. And if it does happen, you're a unicorn and it's awesome. So what I would say is not that you should lower your expectations, but that you should be kind with yourself about just the process and the project, and just like whatever happens, happens. Do your best. That is the biggest thing. Just do your best. There are no limits. Now, this is really interesting to me. Romance has such a ridiculous number of genres and subgenres that you can write in. Here are a couple of the romance genres, just like the big ones. Contemporary. So that means anything happening basically now. Like the setting of the book would be 2020. Like, that's contemporary. Erotica. I will talk more about that later, but erotica is a huge genre in the romance space. historical romance. There are tons and tons and tons and tons of awesome books that take place in times long gone by. Young adult or new adult romance. I personally don't enjoy young adult anymore. I'm just too old for that. And I just find it weird because I'm not a teen anymore. So young adult doesn't appeal to me. But when I was a young adult, it appealed to me. But I was also a young adult at a time when V.C. Andrews was like a thing, and that's just twisty. Whole nother conversation. But I do actually still enjoy new adult, like people in their 20s, like early 20s, mid-20s. I find those stories to be really interesting. And especially in the contemporary genre now, there's a lot of nuanced stories that people are creating that are a lot of fun to read. So I really like that. And even though they don't say this, actually, genres where they are not new adult, where they're mid-age, like Gen X or even boomers. So those are genres to be read and enjoyed as well. Paranormal is all the rage. And then religious themed works. So if you are Catholic or Christian or Muslim or whatever, there are actually books that are all out there for you. Amish actually is a big thing. Amish romance. Those are huge. I feel like I've read some too, actually. I've read every kind of romance and it's glorious. I love it so much. But then there are also sub-genres. Prepare to have your mind blown. I would argue this isn't a sub-genre because it should be its own, but anyway, it's in a whole nother conversation. African-American multicultural books, paranormal subgenres like shifter romances. So shifter romances would be where you basically shift into another, like, and become another type of being. So shifting from human to a wolf form, and they call those lycans. Lycans, if you're into any kind of sci-fi-ish paranormal movies out there, you know what I'm talking about. Paranormal subgenres include vampires, witches, like the list goes on. Contemporary romance has a lot of subgenres, and I love like the billionaire one. Waiting for the first trillionaire one. I feel like that's almost like, I don't even know that that's going to happen, but it could because Jeff Bezos is a trillionaire. So it's reality that's real to us now. So that might become a thing, the trillionaire subgenre in contemporary romance. Mafia is a big one. Military, MC, the whole Sons of Anarchy, motorcycle gang, hot, sexy dude. That's a huge subgenre. Historical romance, Western, time travel, multicultural Western or time travel. I've read them all. New adult, which would be paranormal, academy romance. And there's a huge thing right now in a lot of different types of writing, whether it's paranormal, contemporary, historical, which is the bully romance. This, I find it very interesting where it's what it means, bully. There's also the dark romance subgenre. Those are intense. I've read several. They're very intense. They're very intense books. Reverse harem. This has become a huge one. I think that it touches on women's desire to be desired by many. And the idea is the woman is the lead in the story and she is pursued or has several people who are love interests. So it's very, very interesting. And of course, there's the LGBTQ. So every single genre you could think of in your brain, there is a genre that accompanies it. And to give you an idea, again, just to give you the nuances of all the areas where you could write, you could decide, or I'll give myself an example. I could decide to write in a multicultural, so it could be like a interracial romance that takes place in the paranormal world with vampires, but it could be contemporary paranormal vampire multicultural romance. It literally could be that. Or it could be that it's not multicultural. It's a African-American couple or a Mexican-American couple or Asian-American couple or a white couple. It could be whatever because you are the one creating the story. The key is that the story is interesting. It hooks you. It gets you excited. The conflict between the main characters is interesting. There you go. The next thing people always kind of hint at, and I think this is, again, Americans and sexuality, because we get weird, even though we like violence, which I think goes back to why the bully romance and the dark romance is so popular in the U.S., but that's a whole other conversation. What about the sex scenes? Well, what about them? It's up to you, the author, to decide the heat level of your own books. There are subgenres, quite frankly, for that. There's clean romance where literally there's no sex. There's no sex. And they're wonderful books. I've read them. They're wonderful books. Sometimes it's just like an interesting interplay between two people. There's religious romance. Typically, those would not really have sex scenes. Maybe there would be kissing, but that would be about it. Or they would fade to hint at any kind of like connection like that. I actually just read a book that I've been waiting for a while. And this person is an author that I really like, but I didn't find that it worked for me because it just, the conflict between the two characters was almost too unbelievable for me, and the duration of time. So that was an issue. And so when you're writing these books, I'm going to touch on some of the things that you need to consider. But anywho, you could write a book that's heating up, like it's kind of hot, you know, whoop, whoop, but not too hot, like it's up to you. And then you could write a book that's so hot, your e-reader will burn your fingers and your eyeballs. Again, up to you. You're the author. You just have to be a fan of whatever it is you write so that you have an understanding of the expectation of the readers and that you can connect with the readers who are into what you've decided to write. Let's talk about erotica real quick, though. The main difference when people ask, like, what's the difference? It's basically the difference between erotica and romance is the plot. You don't need to have as much of a plot when erotica is more about the act, about sex, right? So there you go. I mean, it's literally that cut and dry. Pen names or using your actual name. So pen names, a nom de plume in French, is basically a name that you use that is not your own so that you can write basically without worrying that someone is going to find out that it's you. In my case, my pen name is Autumn Stone. There is a reason why I share it, partly because I'm using myself as a case study. And I use myself as a case study because of a couple of different reasons. One is it's marketing. Duh. Like, I have no problem whatsoever you guys knowing what I wrote because that helps market my books. If you are a person who's into the genre that I'm writing. And I actually write in more, I have one genre, but I write in several subgenres within that. And I do that on purpose. I'll touch on why. You might decide to use a pen name because of the industry that you're working in. You could be an educator and you might be like, you know, I'm an educator in a very conservative school district. It might be good for me to have a pen name just because it's just better that way. Or maybe you work for the government and you're like, you know, I don't need the government to know that I write erotica. So it's up to you to decide whether or not you share your name or not. And the other consideration is your name might not be sexy enough, honestly, for your book persona. So Michelle Jackson, in my view, is just not a good romance name. It just isn't. Autumn Stone is fabulous for a romance book writer. I love it. I love it so much. And in fact, I would love to be called Autumn, you know, in another life, but I'm not. So for this, I am Autumn Stone. And actually, I'm thinking about writing in another genre and having a totally different pen name. That one I wouldn't disclose. No, it's not erotica, but it would be another genre where I am not writing multicultural romance. Because I want to see what the difference would be in earnings. So I'm thinking about running an experiment. I'll let you know if I do, because it's a lot of work, and I don't know if I have the energy to do all that. Writing in multiple subgenres. So I've personally decided to write in several subgenres. Right now, 99% of my books feature an African-American woman as the lead character. I do have one book that features a white woman as a lead character, and I really love that book. I did this because I wanted to read stories that featured women like me as the lead. I got tired of waiting for the kind of stories I wanted to read. Now, because I decided to do that and I decided to write these books that I wanted to read, I figured that there are other people out there who might be interested in them. I'm selling them. So yes, that is the case. There are people who are enjoying what I'm writing. But I also understand that that could potentially hurt my sales or help my sales. So it's an ongoing experiment to see how that will work moving forward. The key to writing in subgenres is being very clear in the description of the book what the books are about. I mean, it seems obvious, but sometimes I'll land on a favorite author's site and maybe I'm thinking the book is going to be one thing and then it ends up being another. So just be really clear about what you're doing. And I think most people are fine with that. Book development. So here are some things you really need to consider. Are your character names outdated? I cannot explain how many times I've read a book written in 2019 or 2018 and some dude's name is Oliver, who's like 38. I am not dating a dude named Oliver, okay? There are just some names that in a romance, you're just like, I just can't imagine me, you know, saying Oliver in the throes of passion. It just doesn't work for me. So you need to work on your character names. Are they outdated? Are they sexy? Can we pronounce them? And you can fight me on Oliver, but none of you guys, very few of you guys are dating a guy named Oliver right now. Ladies, fight me on that. Even if he's hot, just Oliver's a hard, it's just not a great name. So when you're developing your characters, think about that. Like, is this a name that fits well for the character? Are your characters relatable, likable, or are they hard to connect with? I actually am reading a couple of different books right now where the characters are challenging for me. One book in particular, I'm like, I almost don't like the character. I almost don't like her. And so it's making it difficult for me to get into the book. And the problem with this character is she's kind of a spaz and she's kind of whiny. And that's unappealing. So it's hard for me to imagine being that character because I don't want to be a spaz or whiny. Like, that's not how I want to imagine me as the character in that book. So when you're writing your characters, like, maybe they start out as a spaz and whiny. Do they grow and develop over time? Something to consider. Okay. Do the situations that your characters find themselves in make sense regardless of the genre? So if you're doing paranormal, it's very fantastical, but based on the story that you developed, does the situation match the story that you've created? So spend time on that. And then finally, the conflict. What is the conflict? What is the situation that the characters find themselves in and how are they resolving it? Like, how do they find themselves falling in love? In bully romance in particular, I find that authors sometimes struggle in creating a plausible reason why the other character, typically the male, is bullying the female character. It's like, why is this a thing between them? Like, why, what the hell? A lot of times the bully romance seems to be in new adult or young adult, in the young adult niche or in new adult genres where for some reason the girl just upsets the guy. One book in particular, it really made sense to me in the sense that the male lead who kind of gangs up on this girl believes that her mother killed his mother. So he's transferring this onto her. And that was even a reach. I was like, well, she didn't kill your mother. What the hell? So if you're going to do a thing like bully romance or any of these situations, it needs to make sense why that conflict has occurred. Like, what? Why? Why is this a thing? And sometimes it just doesn't make sense. For some people, the love that you're writing about, the actual love story that you're writing about is a subversive act. And I'll just leave it there. Like the fact that I'm writing that Black women can be loved by whomever, that's kind of a subversive act in some respects, in some circles. And I kind of love that I'm doing that. I love that. And I just want you guys to consider that. By the way, writing in one genre or subgenre and becoming really known in that space is also a really good strategy. So I have actually, this goes back to kind of the bully romance. I love the author LJ Shen. She writes some intense, dark romance. It's a little more dark. It's kind of a blend, dark bully romance. They're really good books, really good. And that is like what she does. She writes these very conflicted, intense, angry characters. And actually, I want to pull back and say something. I find it very interesting how angry a lot of our literature and music. I feel like there is a thing going on just in general in the U.S. I can't speak for other places, but there is an intensity that is being reflected in our writing and in our art. And I just thought I'd throw it out there. But LJ Shen, I will include a link to her writing. Very intense writing, and she's just known for this type of genre. So that could be what you do. You just write only in that one genre and you perfect those stories. On Thanksgiving Day, I received almost $1,200 in ebook payout. That was a great way to start Thanksgiving, by the way. I love these payouts. Writing romance is not even my primary focus. I have several income streams that I'm focused on. Affiliate income, nonfiction books, fiction books, my Make Money with eBooks course, growing my podcast sponsorships for Square State, which is connected with my Colorado website, Square State, events, freelance writing, and coaching. Writing romance has changed my overall focus and business. And I'm so thankful that I took a small risk with something so freaking random. But it's been a wonderful journey, and all the other stuff that I'd been learning along the way before I ever wrote that first book prepared me to grow what I'm doing now. The great thing about writing and self-publishing ebooks is that I'll always have an ongoing project that I can be working on in the background. When I first started working for myself, I found that I really struggled on where to focus because I didn't have products that I was producing. I was self-employed and constantly looking for projects to work on for other people. And I think that that is one of the things that I love about being self-published is those are my products and I own them. And as long as I'm marketing them and really trying to get them out there, I can create an income separate from any projects driven by other people. So I am not anti-projects, working with other people on their projects, but I do like having a revenue stream independent of other people. You might ask yourself, who will buy your books? People buy the following. They buy poo. People buy poo, like poo-poo, to send to other people that they don't like. And the thing is, that makes no sense because you actually produce poo every day unless you're not eating vegetables. So why are you buying poo to send to people? Think about that. People bought $66 mustard greens from Neiman Marcus. And I still wonder to this day because they sold out on those $66 mustard greens. Were there cute little Southern grandmas like in the back of Neiman Marcus making those greens? Because honestly, they have to be really fresh in order to be good. So I couldn't figure that out. Wine condoms. I did not know that that was a thing until I did research for this episode. You can check them out in the show notes. They exist. Basically, someone out there will buy your book if you market it. But that's also why I have my course, Make Money with eBooks, to help you find out how to market it, how to get in front of people, and how to grow your online book business. Freelancers, you're already creating content. Why not create and self-publish books, building up a passive income revenue stream that will allow you to say no to the projects that don't light you up or allow you to say no to clients that just won't work? If fiction isn't your jam, bookmark Wednesday's show because I will talk about all things writing nonfiction because honestly, I love nonfiction too. I've also included a resource to a fantastic new book called Self-Publishing for Passive Income. That's in the show notes. You can click in the show notes to get to that resource as well. To get to the show notes, again, go to michelleismoneyhungry.com/how-to-become-a-romance-writer. If you are listening to this show on Cyber Monday, make sure you get your course. It's on sale. And I hope that you are having a wonderful, wonderful beginning of December. By the way, I've created a community called the Freedom Collective HQ. Hang out with me in the Freedom Collective community headquarters. Beginning in January 2020, I will be hosting once a month free workshops on a variety of different topics, share discounts on products, announcements about upcoming events such as Money on the Mountain 2021, and also host office hours so that you can touch base with me about questions that you might have. I hope that you're having a beautiful day. Take care, and I hope that you had fun listening to this episode.